We came to look at the Word is God. The Word creates, and the Word reveals. And this morning I want to piggyback off of that with us being ready. How do we prepare ourselves to be members who stand up for Jesus at all times? So God's people are exhorted to be ready in warfare, as physical and spiritual. I'm referring to past events in the history of the children of Israel, which we'll explore, and the spiritual. How are we preparing ourselves for that spiritual warfare against Satan? God's people are exhorted to be ready for death. We know it's a sad time when someone dies. We're sorrowful, but yet we should be joyous. We're Christians. We have God given us a goal, and that's eternal life. And if you strive to be a Christian here on this earth to the best of your ability, by God's mercy and grace, He's going to offer you eternal life. Also, God's people are supposed to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know when Jesus is going to appear. He may appear in all life. It may appear in a lifetime. We don't know. Or in the future. But yet, Christians are looking forward to that. Imagine when Jesus comes back and you're here, just like Enoch and Elijah, you're going to be elevated. God's going to take his people to heaven. Wouldn't that be magnificent to avoid death? But yet, we face death in our lives because we are all born die on this earth until Jesus comes and returns. And also, God's people are exhorted to be ready for the final judgment. That's pretty harsh for people who aren't Christians, because they are going to appear before God and be accountable for all their deeds, both good and bad. And so are we. So how are we getting ready in our lives to be faithful servants of God? Readiness is a state of preparedness for future needs or happenings, whether predictable or uncertain. God, through Jesus Christ, prepared all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. He sent his son, God sent his son down on this earth to be the ultimate sacrifice that mankind has for salvation. And Jesus Christ's blood flowed not only forward in today's economy in the New Testament, but also backwards to those individuals who were faithful, who stood firm in their belief, didn't waver. And it's really important for us as Christians to realize God gave us this plan of salvation. And to prepare us, Jesus was here on this earth and spoke in parables. And tonight we're going to look at one parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. Can I get two volunteers to read this particular passage of Matthew 25, 1 through 6, and then 7 through 13? And Carol, if you read the first six.
Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.
Okay, and who would like to finish up from 7 through 13?
Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather find to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes.
Thank you very much, Mandy. So we see that this parable stresses the importance of being ready for the coming of Christ. And he will come again. How are you preparing for his coming? Are you teetering on what the world has to offer and walking that fence line and saying, well, maybe I'm be a Christian and do good works, or maybe I'll join those people in the world who are having fun. God wants his people to be awake and ready. And Satan seeks to put God's people to sleep spiritually. So they won't be ready. Don't allow Satan in your life to pull you away from the Lord. Okay. There we go. And so in this particular parable, we see that there is a number of people. In verse 1, I get this moving here, we see the story that Jesus lays open for you and I, a parable to teach us readiness. We see the symbols in verses 2 through 4. 5 of the virgins were foolish. They didn't take any extra oil to the lamps, thinking they had plenty. The wise virgins, they were prepared with extra supply of oil, and they did not depend upon past resources. But yet the parable says they all fell asleep. While waiting for the wedding party to come, they all slept. The wise went to sleep prepared. The foolish, unprepared. They had a particular job to do. As we today, as Christians, have a particular job to do. And that is to serve the Lord. How are we serving the Lord today? Who can give us some examples?
Lord's Supper.
Partaking of the Lord's Supper, yeah.
Singing.
How about what we do in life, eh?
Helping the sick.
Helping the sick. What else should we do?
Spreading the gospel.
Spreading the gospel. What else? There are so many things Christians can do and not take credit for it. What about praying for each other? That's important. What about studying the word privately and collectively so that we can be approved of God? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify Jesus as the Lord in your hearts, always ready to give an example to those who ask for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and meekness. We have a responsibility. These virgins had the responsibility to be a light to the wedding party. Excuse me. Five were wise, five were foolish. What about us today as Christians? How are we preparing for that wedding feast? In fact, when you look at the Bible in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see that Jesus always talked about feasts, being prepared. And we'll get to some of those verses later. We see that in verses 6 through 9, the plan, the preparation. The bridegroom was coming, so they would have to meet them. They trim their lamps. We as Christians must trim our spiritual lives in readiness for his coming. And how do we do that? How do we prepare for Jesus' coming? Okay?
We should be continuously increasing our knowledge, studying the word, in order for us to help shine our light. We need to know what to shine. So
exactly. We have to be prepared by studying, by meditating on God's word, by reading. I have trouble right now. I can't read a Bible. I can't see. And I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I'm getting too old. But I could look at my screen because I blow up the letters. And I could read. But if I were to take a Bible, I have to squint. I have trouble. But yet, I'm still learning. I'm using this computer or a electronic device to help me. So I want to learn. I will always be a student of the Word, as with you, till the day I die. Because there's always something new to learn. Just because I heard a sermon 100 times, there's always something new I can learn and dig into the word and apply it to my life. So being prepared, that's what these ladies had to be, these virgins. And we see that the foolish asked the wise to give them some oil, some of their oil. They were dependent on others for the entrance into the wedding feast. Each person must have a personal relationship with Jesus. We shouldn't write someone else's coattails. We have to have that relationship with Christ Jesus. And how do we gain that? Again, going to the Word. The Word is very important. As we said this morning, the Word is God. We see that He created things with Jesus. And also the apologize for this. The smoke is getting to me. I don't know why, but it is. But the Word also, thanks, Dave. verse 10. The word also reveals. And if you don't study, if you don't read, if you don't meditate on God's word, how are you supposed to gain knowledge? It doesn't come by osmosis. We don't know it. We read it and study it, apply it, and pray about it, adding that to our lives. Ten.
I was just going to, you hit on that end word there, prayer. God knows what we need. God even knows what we want. But he still wants to hear it from us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a two-way communication there. He's communicating with us through his word. He wants us to communicate with him through prayer. He's asked us to do that. It's one of the hardest habits to get into, and it's one of the easiest habits to get out of. It's praying to a God who don't have that physical communication with. But it's really important because God wants to hear from you. So you have to do that.
Exactly. Prayer is the utmost important part of a Christian's life. We have to communicate to God. As Ted said, we use an avenue of prayer. God uses the Bible to communicate to us. And he expects his children, just as when you communicate things to your parents when you were growing up, they listen. God listens to us. We pray about it. That's paramount in a Christian's life. Not to repeat certain prayers and stuff, but actually be sincere and dedicated to work to communicate with God, your Father. If you look around us, he created everything, and we as his children are very proud of it. Carol.
I got to thinking about these five virgins who didn't come prepared. It's really an attitude that they had that I've done enough. You're supposed to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. But they gave up on that. They didn't listen to how deep his love was and how deep ours has to be to match it. And so they just said, oh, I've done enough. And it's not going to work.
We could use an example of a sports player, a basketball player. He goes down to the gym, shoots 100 baskets. Oh, I've done enough. When it comes down to game time, that 100 baskets doesn't mean anything unless he does it 3 to 4, 5 hours a day, 7 days a week to build his confidence. We as Christians, we have God's word. We should be utilizing it in our lives so that we could be approved of. That's all we're trying to do. And these virgins in verse 8, they pleaded to those who had the extra oil. And the wise told the foolish to go and buy their own oil. Go get your own stuff. No one can accept Christ for you. Each person must be born again. We have to take the first step. And when you think about taking the first step in your Christian walk of life, it doesn't end there. It should be continuous. And you look around the room, where are our brothers and sisters? Something to think about. I like to have fun, but yet more important, I want to be at worship, to worship Jehovah God. We look at examples in the Old Testament where they dedicated sacrifices, they dedicated prayer service to Jehovah God. And yet, they still fell into sin. They still turned their backs on God, as people today do. But Bill?
I see the elders in the book of Revelation and other places throughout the Bible where they throw themselves on the ground before God. And it seems to me in our lives, this attitude of humility, absolute prostration of ourselves before God, should be the attitude in our heart as we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And should get greater and greater as we live. He is always the master. He deserves every bit of praise and respect. And we should be, as we study the word, humble and look at it in, I think, the most conservative way rather than flippantly at all.
Mm-hmm. When we study the Old Testament, we can see the mistakes the children of Israel made in their lives. They turned their backs on God, but yet we see a God who is long-suffering and patient with them. And that's the same God that you and I worship, who's patient with us and long-suffering with us. He shows us compassion. And that's how you and I are supposed to emulate that in our lives. The problem there being in verses 10 and 11, the door was shut. God gave the people in Noah's day a time to prepare, a time to repent. And that's what Noah was preaching. Someday the door will shut on us. When Jesus comes again, we have to be ready. We have to be, to the best of our ability, servants of the Lord. And then the plea from those five virgins who didn't have any oil. The wise couldn't open the door for them. Only Christ can open the door. That's why we have to stand firm in Jesus' teachings. And the punishment for those five virgins, I don't know them. Only those who are born again will gain entrance. Those who are Christ will be in heaven with him. Just as in the Old Testament, God always saved a remnant of people for his purpose. Not all people who are claim to be Christians in this world. Not all the people who say I did so many good things in the name of Jesus is going to be saved. Only a remnant. Only the faithful. Only those who put God first. And the preparation, we have to be watching and waiting for Jesus. He's going to come again. He may not come in our lifetime, but yet he will come again. And watch your character. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now, for this very reason also, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. An excellent passage to dwell upon in our Christian walk of life. Be diligent in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, seek out knowledge of God's word. Be self-controlled in your life. This morning we mentioned James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And what's that passage about? The tongue, absolutely. Control the tongue. It's the smallest member of your body, but yet it can do the most damage. Whatever you say, you can't take back. It's hard. So control your tongue. And your self-control, perseverance. Sometimes I'm very weak in that particular area, but yet we have to strive to persevere. We know there's something out there that's eternal life that we are all seeking. And in your perseverance, godliness. Another aspect of a Christian walk of life is brotherly kindness. We have to be kind to each other. We have to show the kindness that Jesus shared with people in the world when he was here. And also in our brotherly kindness law. We have to show that love for the individual soul. Even those people who are sinners, we don't like what they do. We don't condone what they do. But yet we still love them. We still love their soul. God created them. And it's up to you and I to be lights to them and bring them to the Lord. Watch your consecration. Can I get someone to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, please?
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of the Word. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable to God.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that we should present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, which is our spiritual form of worship. That's what we should be doing in our lives. God wants full surrender and full dedication. He doesn't want us to be a halfway Christian. He wants us to totally put him first in whatever we do, in our worship to him, in our going out and telling others about the gospel, in our helping others, and showing that love to not only our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those in the world. Also, in the preparation, we should watch our companions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Watch where you hang out with. You know, it's important that we know who we associate with. We may have to work with people in the world. We may have to interface with those individuals in a type of business. But yet, we should be choosing Christians as friends. That's important to keep your Christian friends around, surrounding you, so that you won't be pulled away into the world. God has prepared everything for salvation of sinners. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Thank you, Donna. So we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In order to be with the Father, we have to be with Jesus. That's the end result. He shared with his disciples at that time that he was going to go away and prepare a place for them. And he's doing that for us today. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 4, again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat and livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. So when we read the gospel, we can see that Jesus is talking in parables. And not many people are going to come. Hope you and I are going to be there. And then again, in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, but he said to them, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. Are you going to be in that calling? Or are you just going to allow what the world has for you? And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So when we look at these verses, we see Jesus is calling us. He wants us to be there with him. You have to make a choice. We as Christians make that choice by putting God first in everything we do. Readiness for war against earthly enemies. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 11 and 12. Can I get a volunteer to read that?
Sharp. Oh, go ahead.
Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Post a strong guard. Station sentries. Place men in ambush. For the Lord has both purposed and performed what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon.
Again, when we look at those verses, he's telling the children of Israel, be ready. Babylon's going to fall. And the prophet Joel in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare war. Rouse the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near and let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. Again, he's encouraging the children to fight against an earthly enemy. What about against the spiritual forces that we face? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then he goes on and describes how we as Christians are supposed to prepare ourselves. And he ends up in verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Again, Paul is encouraging Christians to pray, to be solid and stand firm. Also, we are supposed to be ready to face temptation. Can I get someone to read Psalms 39, verse 1, please?
I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence.
Thank you, Bill. So we, again, have to control what we say. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we go on to see further in Paul's first letter to the saints at Corinth in chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. An admonition for us today. And Peter finishes up in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, especially Christians. Face death. We all going to face death. Death in our days. Joseph was facing death in Genesis chapter 46, verse 30. Israel was facing death, and he said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, that you are still alive. And in Acts chapter 21, in verse 13, when Paul was addressing the Ephesian elders, Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He knew what his faith was. And he told them, don't weep for me. I'm going to die, but yet I don't want to die for the name of Jesus. Something that we should consider in our lives. We're not faced with that in this country. Maybe someday we will. And we have to stand up for the cause of Christ. People should be ready to serve. We see back in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 8, verse 11, how Aaron presented the Levites to serve for the sons of Israel. In John 9 and verse 4, can I get someone to read that particular verse?
We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work.
We have to work for the Lord. We have to present ourselves a worthy servant of his. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. We have to use our talents for the Lord. And Peter finishes up that thought in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to speak truth. Can I get someone to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, please?
Preach the word. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction.
Thank you, Vicki. So we have an opportunity and respond.
I'm sorry, I tried, Lenny. It wouldn't let me.
Okay, well, you can do this next verse. We have a responsibility to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and encourage with patience. And go ahead, Carolyn, if you can read 1 Peter 3, verse 15.
But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Thank you, Carolyn. So that's our responsibility as Christians. We have to be ready to do that. Even if it's just telling someone how you became a Christian, that's works. And sharing your experience with them and encouraging them to seek out the Lord. We are supposed to be ready for the second coming of Christ. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, verse 13, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, can I get someone to read that?
Of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Thank you. We're supposed to prepare ourselves. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. We have to be ready to stand fast. And all humanity to be ready to face judgment, future judgment. Luke says in chapter 12, in verse 47 and 48, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in according to his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask the more. And Peter sums that up in 1 Peter 4, verse 5. And can I get a volunteer to read that particular verse?
They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Thank you, Di. So we see that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And people in the world are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And it's up to you and I as Christians, as God's children, to study our Bible, to meditate on the Bible. Put the Bible in action in our lives. Pray about it. Ask God for help so that when we stand before God's judgment seat, he will give us the grace and mercy that we are all seeking. In a few moments, Ted's going to lead us in this particular song, Yield Not to Temptation. But yet, those who aren't Christians have an opportunity to come forward and we'll assist you in any way. And also, those in the audience who are Christians and have fallen short of their commitment to the Lord, let us help you by praying with you and encouraging you to live a godly life.